9:04 now. It is Tuesday, December 2nd, and it is the beginning of the month, the first Tuesday of the month. We generally visit with Baxter County Sheriff John Montgomery. Heather Loftus is here to talk to him this morning. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, and happy 0 degrees outside.
You know, I don't think we're ready for this. Well, I'm pulling out coats that I haven't worn in years, and I'm like, you know, it's not that bad. It's just such a dramatic change.
I think so. I mean, and you're right. It's like if you look at what 30 degrees or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's not that. But man, it just feels like it's.
Just cuts right through you.
You're right.
So, yeah. I mean, we had on shorts and t-shirts this time last week, too. So
I thought you said now. No, we don't.
Hey, it's a good time for a fire, though. I know.
Oh, like, yeah.
You love to build a good fire.
I love to build a good fire.
You can't sit on your deck and look at the White River right now, though.
I could.
You don't want to.
We do have an outside fireplace, but I'm not sure today will be the day I use it.
Yeah. We usually get to visit with you in advance of the quorum court meeting, but of course we had the special quorum court meeting last night because the judge has got to be out of town for the next couple of days. But quick 23-minute quorum court meeting.
It really, and they had a little procedural thing that they had to fix, but no, I mean, it was short and sweet. And you know, and I'm going to compliment. The reason is they have committee meetings, which is open to the public, make that very clear. It's very transparent. But a lot of those things they can hash out or get corrected in the budget or the personnel or whatever committee, so that once they then put that out for the rest of the quorum court, it's handled. And they always open up for discussion from the public, but it's pretty cut and dried. And, you know, I am very pleased and proud that all of the elected officials work so well together. And you look at what the county is today compared to what it was, you know, what, 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, we've made such great strides and advancement. And all of us working together, this is God's country.
Has it dawned on you that you completed your final budget for the Sheriff's Department?
No, that's not true.
No?
No, because I will actually present the budget for next year
because you won't leave
for the
until 2027.
So it's kind of unfair because when my first year in office, I was handed a budget that had already passed, and so I really had to operate within a budget that I had no involvement in.
It's hard to make those campaign promises come true when you didn't get to do anything with the budget for that year. I hadn't even thought about that.
No, and there were some circumstances when I took over. I was not allowed in the sheriff's office until December 31st. So that created some issues. That's not going to happen. No matter how the election goes, that's not going to happen this time.
You're going to leave a letter on the Resolute desk like the president does for the next.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that, but maybe, you know.
We should start a new tradition.
There you go.
Lots of activities coming up in Baxter County, of course. I mean, this is you're kind of spread thin when you're covering the whole county like you guys do. But we've got, of course, the parade this Friday night. You guys will be a part of it, as always.
Yep, the parade Friday night, Christmas parade. I think it starts at 6, I believe.
Correct.
But then Saturday night, actually, there's a Christmas parade in Norfolk.
Yep.
And so, and then, of course, there's all kinds of events and get-togethers and, you know, things that happen. And then there's some extra security that's involved. You know, some of the big box stores occasionally will want some extra security that we provide. And I say we provide. What happens is they pay for those extra security.
Sure.
So our officers working, that can work when they're off and get some extra money for themselves and family.
Everybody's looking for a little extra money this
time of
year.
Everybody this time of year, you bet.
Hey, last time you were here, of course, we had our big scammer event, our final third show, part of three. Everywhere I went for a couple of weeks, people were asking me about scammers.
Well, and it's still the hot topic. Mm-hmm. And so, interestingly enough, and this is sad in a way. So you think, you know, we how much publicity have we done? And we've got sheets that I hand out, and every time we speak, and it's, you know, we've had these programs here. And so just last week, there was a lady that I know that almost, and I say almost, fell victim to a scam. Fortunately, after I mean, had gone way into the scam before she finally reached out to me, and it was obvious it was a scam, but it had to do with a warrant, you know, a federal warrant that hadn't been taken care of, and this lady was about to pay to a scammer. Now, that in itself, and this person claimed they were with the sheriff's office, which they're not, because we don't pick up the phone and call you. So if you get the call saying you're from the sheriff's office, and just yesterday, a longtime retired builder friend called me and said, hey, I'm sure this is a scam, but I got a phone call a few minutes ago saying they were from the sheriff's office and there was a federal warrant. And he said, so what I did is I said, well, I'm going to hang up and call the sheriff's office. And he said, immediately they hung up on him. Mm-hmm. And I tell people the same thing. Sometimes you get this, you think your credit card or your debit card's been compromised. And so if they tell you what I get these calls, I've probably had 4 or 5 this year. I say, I tell you what, thank you for calling, but I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call the number on the back of my credit card. Mm-hmm. And every single time they've hung up on me. And of course, I have people constantly tell me, because you remember I've told them, a good way to answer the phone is, this is the Baxter County Sheriff's Office, Fraud yeah. Division. And the amount of people that tell me that they use that and they get hung up on it. And that's good.
Were you pleased with the episode they did here in Baxter County?
I am very pleased. We were kind of in the last half of episode 2 and all of episode 4. It's sad in a way that these people fell victim. But I was very pleased with the way they portrayed law enforcement here. I've talked with them several times since then on the phone. They just rave about the cooperation that they received mm-hmm. from all of us and all the law enforcement working together. And again, just I'm very pleased, not so much the publicity for the law enforcement as I am the publicity of how these scams work. Mm-hmm. Even episode 1 had to do with a romance scam. I mean, that to me was so telling, because we see that often. Right. But they kind of dove in into how it happened and how they alienated. So, again, very pleased with the way the outcome was.
You know, we talked about the budget. You get to do one more, but you are about to go into your final year as sheriff. I mean, goals you have set for you and your department?
Oh, we've got lots of things rocking and rolling. In fact, I'm going to a little teaser. There'll be a press release issued tomorrow
okay.
about a new program. And so we're very excited. And so we finished the final testing. And so there'll be a press release issued tomorrow afternoon.
Fantastic.
And of course, I'm going to quickly jump over into the jail for just a moment. Mm-hmm. We, again, I can't thank the voters enough that trusted us into passing that sales tax for the jail. That has been a game changer, because all mm-hmm. of a sudden we can hire the people that we need to hire. We're fully staffed. We can pay a competitive wage. Mm-hmm. And so it has just been a game changer. And the oddity of that, and this is, if you stop and think about it, prior to the tax passing, we were so overcrowded. We had 100 beds and we were mm-hmm. averaging 130 or 40. So we had 30 or 40 people sleeping on the floor all the time. Once the expansion happened, and of course COVID hit about that same time, we only average about 100 to 110. Mm-hmm. So we've got 60, 70 open beds all the time. Now, I have a theory of why that is. I'm sure you're wanting me to tell
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Okay. We don't run a Holiday Inn. Right. And I've made that, and you've heard me say that over and over. You know, you go to prison, you get tablets and video games and television and you know, all fancy, you know, gourmet meals. I mean, it really is. We don't run a Holiday Inn, and so there is no television. The radio, you get to, in fact, it's KTLO News is broadcast mm-hmm. 3 times a day for all the inmates. There's no tablets. And I've got enough feedback, even some letters from former residents of our jail that's gone to prison or whatever, that said it made them stop and think. And so now, does it work? Obviously not for everybody, because we wouldn't have so many repeat offenders. But if you look at those repeat offenders, it's really a core group. I mean, it's typically the same ones over and over. And so it's not that wide of expansion. And again, I truly believe it's because, again, we treat everybody fairly. We meet all kinds of jail standards. We meet nutritional guidelines. But if you don't like beans and cornbread 365 days a year, I'd suggest you go to another county to break the law.
I like beans and cornbread. I just need a little seasoning in mine. And you don't put any seasoning in your
Well, salt's not good for you.
What?
So it's not good for you. I mean, you know, but yeah.
But you know, you've had such success here. If you follow the news, they're having a little trouble in Franklin County, and maybe you could give a little guidance there.
You know,
you dip your toes into that mess?
No, I don't. I don't want to dip my toes. They desperately need another prison. I mean, I'm just telling you, it is desperately needed. But no, I don't think I want to go down on because the problem is it's. Nobody wants a prison in their backyard. I get that. Sure. And go back years and years ago, Calico Rock here.
I was going to say, let's just expand Calico Rock.
Well, there's some reasons why. They could do a small expansion, but part of it has to do with labor market.
Yeah.
Now, right now, Calico Rock, I believe this to be a true statement, is the only prison in Arkansas that is fully staffed, mm-hmm. okay? That's not true anywhere else. In fact, some of them have a 50% staffing problem. And that's part of the problem with the prisons down south that currently is because they can't get enough staffing.
Well, you build them in the middle of nowhere, and then you don't have anyone to work
right.
there.
Right. And so there's been some arguments in Franklin County. And now my personal opinion is I think they certainly could support a 1,500-bed prison, okay, and would love to see, although that wouldn't solve all the problems, to me that would be a huge help. Because currently, I think as of yesterday, we're like 2,100 people backed up in the county jails. And this is going to be a shocker for you, mm-hmm. I think. So the problem is you've got all these people that's on parole and probation. And so when they don't show up or they disappear, they're called an absconder. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no place, there's not been a big effort to go. Now, we remember we had, a year and a half ago,
the
big roundup.
Oh, yeah.
And we arrested a whole bunch of absconders.
Can you do that again? We're kind of in that lull, that post-holiday news lull. You know, we need some activity
going on. We're actually talking about doing another one. And so, and again, going back to the cooperation, state police and the probation and parole and game and fish and city police, we all work together in that big roundup. But if you were going to guess, how many absconders do you think are currently out that they're, and I want to use the word looking for, they're not really actively looking for them, mm-hmm. because the problem is, where are you going to put them?
Right.
How many do you think there are?
In the state of Arkansas?
Mm-hmm.
Thousands?
10,000 absconders. Mm-hmm. 10,000. And so when you go that, you know, right now there's 2,100 backed up in the county jails right now.
Right.
In fact, we're one of probably two or three county jails that have had anybody that's available. Mm-hmm. There's the vast majority of the county jails won't even accept a misdemeanor.
Do you still get folks transferred here because of bed availability? And then
we don't take them.
You don't take them?
Now, we do have an occasional work arrangement because you can't have the two, you know, say two people were committed to murder. You don't want both of them in the jail. So we may work with the surrounding county and say, we'll hold one for you. You may hold one for us, but as far as taking them from other counties, we do not.
Why?
Well, there's two reasons.
Because there was a payment involved, like it was a financial.
Well, you can, and it depends on the county. Uh-huh. So there is a payment, but the average cost, and we just did a study, and I think it was like $63 a day, something in that neighborhood. The state pays me $40. So tell me, now remember, that's an average, and I get that. Some inmates are going to cost more, some less.
Hard to ask your taxpayers to pay that. Yep.
Exactly. And and I don't feel that's right. Now, again, we'll help a surrounding county out, and they've helped us out. But as far as bringing them in, it's not a good financial model.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, we went off on a totally different conversation, Kim, but, you know, it's always very interesting.
I love how you do that, though. It kind of just happens organically. You just kind of start with one thing and it goes into another. And I can't wait to hear this press release tomorrow. Yeah. He's got me on pins and needles here.
I think it's a great program.
Good.
I'm more excited about the roundup.
Well, and we're talking about it. I mean, and again, but it's that cooperation with the law enforcement, you know, again, when that happened this last time, there again, you hear me say it, there was no egos. Everybody left the egos at the doors.
And that's what the folks that, you know, with True Media, they were talking about too, is they very rarely see that cooperation across different agencies in a local town.
Well, and I'll say that works because it really, it involves two things. It involves a leadership thing because, again, in this case, and I'll say I'm part of it, but I'm not the only reason, but the leaders get along with each other and they don't care who gets the credit, okay? And then that filters down to the troops, if you will. And so if we make sure that our troops don't bring the egos into the situation and they don't care who gets the credit, it's amazing what you can get done.
Yeah.
And so it's important that you have the right people in place. And in my opinion, and this is across the board or in this area, we have the right leadership and the right accountability to our troops to make sure that that's followed through.
All right. See you next month.
All right.